The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Some people in some churches think that repentance and faith are the same. Does the Gospel of John say anything much about repentance? Is it a condition required for eternal salvation? What is the meaning of repentance? These are questions that we will answer on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Thank you for being with us, friend. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and we'd like to get to know you better. If you'd like to get to know us better, find out more at our website, faithalone.org. We have an online seminary, we have a magazine that we publish six times a year, and we have a national annual conference, as well as regional conferences in various places. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
All right, Ken, I have a question here from Alexander. One of my seminary professors, and he's going to a conservative evangelical seminary, is alleging that John's gospel teaches that, quote, repentant faith, unquote, repentant faith is required for salvation. And for support, he actually cites certain GES...
You're talking about the seminary professor does, right?
He cites certain journal articles and also includes the writing of Lewis Sperry Chafer, that's the founder of Dallas Seminary, to support his case. This guy's an MDiv student there, and he wants to know, is repentant faith found in John?
My guess is, just reading that question, that he maybe or probably, the seminary professor, maybe referring to either your dissertation at Dallas, where you held that in what, correct me if I'm wrong, but a few passages, repentance is like a change of mind.
Right. I said in 11 passages in the New Testament, it's a change of mind about Christ.
And that was Lewis Sperry Chafer's view, right?
Right. He held the change of mind view.
And there have been free grace people in the past, others, and there's still some today, who say repentance is the same thing as faith. So a repentant faith here could be a change of mind faith. You didn't believe in Jesus before, and now you do believe in him.
Okay, now two things. First of all, I repented of my view of repentance. And in the first about six issues of our journal, we published six articles for my dissertation. But then, so that was between like 1989 to about 1994 or 5. But then in around 1997 or 8, I changed my view on repentance and we published an article on Does Your Mind Need Changing Regarding Repentance?
I remember that article,
and I talked about why I changed my view. I came to see that none of those 11 passages actually taught that. So the first place is I repented of my view of repentance. The second thing is, as far as I know, I never used the expression repentant faith. And I don't think that Dr. Chafer ever used the expression repentant faith. Maybe he did. I can't recall an example of where he did. But the point is faith and repentance is repentance. And they're not the same, and you can't mash them together.
Right. It's just this. His name's Andy, the question?
Alexander.
If he's understanding his professor right, you know, maybe the professor is using his own terminology for what he thinks Lewis Sperry Chafer or you wrote, you know, that if repentance is a change of mind and it's basically the same thing as faith, then, okay, he's just using the phrase repentant faith and saying that's what
that's what's going on. Now, let me point out that Zane Hodges was my first reader on my dissertation. And as you know, you got a doctorate also in New Testament from Dallas Seminary. You get like three readers. And your first reader is also called your advisor. And that person has the biggest influence. Did you find that true?
Yes.
And then the others, you still meet with them and talk with them and get their feedback, but it's not near as important. You've got to please your advisor, your first reader. So when I was going through my dissertation on repentance as a condition for salvation in the New Testament, the only place where Zane pushed back with me was on Luke 13:3 and 5, where it says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he said, I think that refers to the Jewish war between 66 and 70 A.D., and perish there refers to physical death.
Which it clearly does.
I think it clearly does. I didn't buy it at the time. I didn't give it enough thought. I didn't notice, unless you repent, you all likewise perish.
Because before that, he talks about people who die physically.
Yeah, right? Either when the Tower of Siloam falls on them or when their blood is mingled with sacrifices by Pilate. And so I didn't give that enough credence, but Zane Hodges didn't push back to me on the other passages. But later, that was 1985. 1989, he wrote his book Absolutely Free. And we had a board meeting, I think it was January of 90, I'm not sure. And we were talking about his new book, Absolutely Free. And one of my board members had written an appendix that was going to go in that on Lordship Salvation and how it wasn't the historic position of the church. And at this meeting, a number of the board members, almost all of them were Dallas Seminary grads, said, we don't agree with you. Please pull chapter 12, which was Hodges' chapter on repentance. And he was arguing that repentance is not a condition of everlasting life.
And it's not a change of mind.
Not a change of mind. Now, I'm happy with the fact that I think I influenced him. Because as he read my dissertation, he decided I was wrong. He wrote against it, right? And I was glad. But this was 1990. We're having this board meeting. One of his big points was the Gospel of John is the only evangelistic book in the Bible, John 20, 30, and 31. These have been written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And he said, the words repent and repentance don't even occur once in John's gospel. Yet John was a disciple of John the Baptist. And John had heard about repentance right and left from the preaching of John the Baptist and even from the preaching of Jesus. And John uses the verb metanoeo to repent 12 times in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So Hodges pointed out the fact that it's not in John's gospel is quite significant. And it tells us it couldn't possibly be a condition of eternal life, or John would have said so.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
I remember afterwards several of my board members, they said, what do you think? And I said, well, he hasn't convinced me yet. But my response was, I'm open. I need to give this more thought. Well, it took me about 7 years. But by 1997, I had changed my view because all 11 went away. And I think this illustrates the principle of meditation. Meditation doesn't mean you look at a passage for 15 minutes and you got it. Meditation may take place over the course of months or even years.
Sure.
And so you keep coming back to it, coming back to it, coming back to it. And people ask you questions and you interact. Well, by 1997, I changed my view. I came to see that there's not a single passage. So today I'm extremely confident repentance is not a change of mind about Christ. It's change of mind about our sinful behavior. And that the issue is always physical life and physical death, or temporal life and temporal death. In fact, I've written a book. It took me about 30 years to write it, but I finally wrote a book called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. And if you're interested, you could go to our website, faithalone.org, and look at it. But that's a quote, Turn and Live, from Ezekiel chapter 18, calling the nation of Israel and the Jews in Israel to repent so that they might continue to live. Otherwise, they're going to die.
Now, you mentioned repentance as a change of mind about sin, but would you say that it also means a turning from it?
I do.
So it's not just an attitudinal thing.
That's a great question. If a person decides, you know what, I'm going to stop living with this woman I'm not married to, and I'm going to go back to my wife, but he doesn't actually move out, then he's not repented
yet. He feels sorry for it.
He may feel sorry.
Right.
He may have changed his mind about it.
Right.
But if he hasn't done anything about it, he's not repentant. Because when the prodigal son is in the far country, it's interesting. Luke 15 has three parables about repentance. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, or the prodigal son. The first two both mention the word repentance. You know, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, mm-hmm. or more joy among the angels over one sinner. But the third one doesn't actually mention the word repentance. But what it says is, after he was in the far country and he lost all his money and he was experiencing a famine, and the text says no one gave him anything, and he was actually feeding pigs to make enough.
He came to his senses.
When he came to his senses, he didn't say, you know what, I've decided to turn from the far country, but I'm going to stay here. He decided to turn, and he went back to the father. And when he got back to the father says, this my son was dead and is alive again. By dead, he meant he was dead to me in terms of fellowship. So he was alive to the father in terms of fellowship before he went to the far country. When he was in the far country, he was dead in terms of fellowship. When he came back, he was alive again in terms of fellowship with the father. So, yeah, you're right. And to answer your question, it's not just a mental decision to turn from sins, but it must be followed up with an actual turning, or repentance hasn't occurred.
So I'm assuming that in your dissertation then, I know you changed your mind on it, but how does this relate then to John the Baptist? Bring fruit meet for repentance, or suitable,
worthy
of repentance. So it is that combination of, I see this is wrong, but I'm going to now, in these examples where John is talking about, if you have two coats, give one to somebody who doesn't. You know, don't distort extortion, those kind of things. So
yeah, I think what they are is kind of an application. Now, the extortion one is a little bit puzzling, because if they've already repented, why is that even being brought up? But the one about giving up something, basically the fruit worthy of repentance is, once you've turned from your sinful ways, now start doing the positive things that should come from that. I'm not sure about the extortion one, though, because that one's a little bit...
Well, maybe that's because they were typically doing that, the soldiers. They were using their positions of power to extort money.
Right, but I mean, my point is, wouldn't repentance mean they were going to stop doing that?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure. Maybe you can write an article on that. All right.
This was a great question, and you can tell this is one that Bob has lived for a long time.
Yeah.
So we appreciate your input there, Bob. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On the next episode, why do we say that eternal salvation is free and discipleship is costly? Join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.